Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Nice to have you with us today. This is your host, Jim Masters. We appreciate you being with us. We also appreciate our next guest, Karen McKnight, who is an executive coach, consultant, speaker, and author of And Just Like That. Her primary focus is leadership and transition in order to help CEOs and senior leaders go from where they are to where they aspire to be and achieve their absolute greatest potential. Through her coaching, she helps people increase self-awareness and tap into an open mindset to create changes in their thinking, actions, and behavior in order to become the best version of themselves. Carefully integrating executive coaching and mindfulness strategies through practical solutions is what she specializes in, and her clients develop and progress into more self-aware, grounded, emotionally intelligent individuals with improved work habits and effective leadership skills to really increase their chance of success in all areas of life and work. She also urges folks to recognize that although life has unexpected jolts and challenges that can be daunting and intimidating, we should embrace those unforeseen experiences because we can actually grow from them and reach new heights of leadership. That's why she wrote And Just Like That, a book of hope and endless possibilities. Karen facilitates the skills leaders benefit from to shift from frustration and being stuck to tap into a different way of being, expanding, and truly interacting in ways that increase their chance of success in their personal and professional lives. It's about helping people decide how they want to show up in the world, regardless of circumstances they are facing. Because she believes we are remarkably resilient human beings and capable of continually developing. Her website is karen-mcknight.com, and we will mention that again during the course of the show. But let's welcome her for the very first time to Close Up Radio for the next 30 minutes as my special guest here, live and direct from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Karen, thank you very much for joining us here on the program. It's a pleasure to have you, and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jim. I'm really looking forward to this.
I am too. I am as well. I'm fascinated by the work that you do, and I like to humanize the guests right, you know, out of the gate and make them relatable to our audience. And usually I like to ask in the beginning something along the lines of, what are some of the things, you know, in your own life's journey, experiences that you've had that inspired you to do this fantastic work that you do? When did you realize that it wasn't work that you just want to do, but you're meant to do this kind of work? You have to do this kind of work. What are some of those inspirations along the way for you, Karen?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think when I sort of scan back to my life and career, I mean, I mentioned in the book, I don't have an extraordinary story necessarily. I'm just as perfectly imperfect as everybody else. But I do believe that I'm really grounded in being a lifelong learner. And my first career, I was a teacher and fascinated not just by how kids develop, but also was always facilitating groups with teachers and helping them to be lifelong learners. And, you know, so as I navigated my own ups and downs in life, I just was fascinated by the fact that some people seem to be able to, you know, skate through things that I think are, you know, really severe, and other people, you know, really struggle. And so when I started working on my master's, I focused on the psychology of adult change and learning, and just again, really dove into this fascination with, you know, how can we support people in navigating what comes our way, and those challenges can be internally generated, externally imposed, they can be big or small. But how is it that we can successfully get through and develop and learn from those things and become the next best version of ourselves? And so I studied that, you know, for years during my master's, and then was actually one of my professors who said that there was this new profession coming out of the States called coaching. And I just started looking into it. And this was, I'm actually in my 20th year of my private practice. And you know, to your point, it really is a calling for me, because I've had enough experience to see that we can support people and that we can help them develop processes and methods to customize their own situation in order to develop and take the next step and become the next best version of themselves. So it's really inspirational, and I've had enough evidence over the years to really believe in the process, and I'm inspired to continue to bring that hope and customized process to as many people as possible.
That is fantastic. So let's break out, if we can, for our audience. Maybe they've heard, you know, the term executive coach bantied around a little bit, but they're not too sure on the work of an executive coach, what an executive coach actually does, and some of the benefits of having one. Can you define for us what an executive coach does, and what are some of the things that you do?
Yeah, so I mean, the easiest description of my sort of private one-on-one executive coaching part of my practice is that it's a one-on-one relationship, you know, and in my area of focus is CEOs and senior leaders. I work across sectors, but somebody comes to coaching because they want to take their leadership to the next level, and they're on that path of development. And it can be lonely at the top. And that's why I sort of developed this niche in terms of senior leaders, which is like, how do we create almost a container for the person to step into, a trusted, confidential space? And we have conversations on a regular basis where we really help people define what is it that's actually going on for you. You know, what are your strengths? What are you bringing to your work and your life? How can we build on that? It's really based a lot on positive psychology. And I often say that the work of coaching is actually done in between the conversations. It's not just about coming and having a nice conversation and deciding on a goal and working towards it, but having the kind of conversation where the person feels inspired to take that thinking and those ideas out into their life and experiment and be willing to have the courage to try new things, cultivate different kinds of relationships, different ways of thinking, different ways of looking at things, to experiment and expand their capability to become even better in whatever role it is that they are encountering in their life and identifying what it is that they really want.
Which, again, is all part of the process. Sometimes they're not even sure, but by having an opportunity to have such a great guide as you, then they can realize some of those aha moments for what it is they really, really want. Sometimes it's a blur, and you help them find that clarity, which I think is really important. Why is good leadership vital to an effectively functioning workplace? And, you know, and that carries off really to any aspect of life. Good, effective, positive leadership can really create an atmosphere of positivity where everybody wants to be involved and roll up their sleeves and they feel respected and appreciated, and it just creates this great, cool, positive vibe that can be really positive all the way around for everybody, right?
Yeah, and it really it's like an inertia that gets started in a sense. And, you know, your use of the word clarity is really important, Jim, because often when people come to coaching, they're not really sure what it is that's actually happening for them. And so I never buy into someone's version of sort of why they want to come to coaching. It's like, let's explore. Let's see what's really going on. And because leadership, when you think about, you know, effective leaders, and particularly during these very uncertain times, leaders need to inspire people to want to follow and want to do their best. And so, you know, this notion I mentioned earlier about positive psychology, it really is about focusing on what's actually working. What's gotten you to where you are right now? What are your strengths? What are your gifts? What are the things that can trip you up? And we start with that. And it's about that relationship with yourself and who you want to be and how you want to show up. And once we identify that, then the goals become clearer. And then we can extend it from self to team and people in our inner circle, And then the third level is sort of the wider context, whether that's organization, the community, whatever it is that we want to have impact on, and how do we want to connect with not just what we're doing, but who we're doing it with. And so, you know, that requires, you know, good communication, transparency, authenticity, acknowledgement of others' contributions, regular feedback loops. So those are all the things that we work on to help people to be the kind of leader that others want to follow, and where they wake up in the morning feeling like they're firing on all cylinders and excited to contribute. And because, you know, an inspiring leader creates, and the wording that I'm using now, particularly during these times, is flexible certainty. You know, we're in very uncertain times. Leaders need to be clear. They need to stay ahead of their industry or their work and be looking forward, using what they've learned and what they've experienced in order to take that next positive step. And yet at the same time, we're in a transition in society and in our businesses and in our organizations. And so we also need to be flexible. So, you know, good leadership also is about being humble and, you know, appropriately vulnerable, and open-minded. So I really do a lot of work with, you know, how are you viewing things in a way that is big enough to hold the complexity of everything that's going on around with yourself, with others, and with the wider context.
Flexible certainty. I think that's fantastic, because that is exactly the way things are right now in life, in business, in society. You want to have a sense of certainty, but have a flexibility, because as we've learned, especially in the last 2 years, a lot of things can change on a dime. So going towards the certainty, but again, having that flexible nature is probably the way to really go ahead with things. So I think that's a fantastic way that you put that. And that hit me in a way that I've never heard it described that way, but it combines those two things beautifully, because it's so true. Why do you specifically coach CEOs and senior leaders? I know that's a specialty that you lean towards. What is it about working with them that really speaks to you?
Yeah, I think that I mentioned it a little bit earlier, that sort of adage that it's lonely at the top. So I realized early on in my private practice that that's not just a saying. It's actually true. And there's a lot of responsibility on senior leaders' shoulders, you know, from a financial perspective, operationally, culturally, and from the standpoint of leading teams and people. And so having a confidential place to really work through the key issues, the things that, you know, what's keeping you up at night is a great question that I always ask people. And bringing those questions to say, let's not be afraid to step in and look at what's really going on. Not what we planned for, not what we wished for, not what was in the strat plan, but as things roll out and as things land, what's actually going on? How are people interacting? How is our business responding? How are our customers responding? And so for me, this was a way to you know, have an impact, where if I start with the senior leaders, then we can cascade it through the organization to bring this message of possibility and hope and next level development to everyone that we work with. And it's a very, it's an inspiring approach, because it capitalizes on, you know, our human nature, which is that we all want to be better and do well and contribute to our lives and our organizations. And so for me, this was a way to do that. And I also found that I was able to somehow bring this work to CEOs and senior leaders in a way that they could hear it and really step into it. Because, you know, initially when I started coaching, you know, some people thought it was a very, you know, out there, airy-fairy concept. And what I really tried to do is make it very practical and, you know, bring, co-create customized exercises, things that people can try for themselves, for their organization, and for their people on their teams. And so to me, I want to be the best contributor I can be, and this was a way that I found people responded well to and were attracted to doing this kind of work with me, because it's very customized. I don't do any off-the-shelf programs. I really take people where they're at, and we work with what is. And take it from there to where does the person want it to go.
That is fantastic. Great approach that you have. That's so well thought out. And congratulations, published author. Let that sink in a little bit. I know it was probably therapeutic, cathartic, a lot of work, a labor of love to write the book. First, what was the inspiration to say, you know what, I'd like to get this down on paper and offer up something that people can really sink their teeth into, which is the book, And Just Like That. And let's talk a little bit about what the book is about and why it was important for you to write it.
Yeah, and it was really, the impetus was really the pandemic and being in lockdown and really sort of metaphorically hitting rock bottom myself in terms of, you know, a lot of fear-based emotions around how can I help my people, my leaders, my clients get through something that is so unprecedented and, you know, do I have the skills? Can I do this? And so I really had to take a step back and say, well, you know, so what is it that I have navigated in my life? How have I navigated it? You know, here, and this concept of, yeah, the jolts come at us. They come at us or we generate them. And so it was really a time where I felt compelled to sort of share what I've learned over the past 20 years of coaching and, you know, my 30-year career in terms of teaching and learning. And so it really was, it almost poured out of me. And I know that sounds, you know, a bit weird, but once I decided, it was like, I want to share this with a wider audience. You know, I want to use this time in lockdown to consolidate my experiences, the evidence that I've gained in terms of how I can support people in navigating these jolts, whether they're internally generated, externally imposed, whether they're positive or negative, whether they're big or small. And so I've had this concept that, you know, life is metaphorically like an equation, and everybody is always in their own life and work equation. And there are different steps to that, that we have to, you know, when you're creating an equation, you have to look at, well, what are the variables? And that takes time and energy and figuring out what are the variables before me right now. So that's sort of the first step. And then once you've identified the variables that you're dealing with, there's also a lot of work that goes into, well, how do I formulate that into the question that I need to step into? And then once the question is formed, we need to actually solve the equation. And that, again, takes time and creative thinking and missteps. And then we get to the solved equation. And we get to live for a while where everything's firing on all cylinders and we're operating at our peak. And then guess what happens? A variable changes. And we need to be aware of that. And then we're back at the beginning again. And so this concept of And Just Like That is, it happens really at two points in time, Jim. One, when the jolt occurs, and then we enter into this process of transition. We're called into a process of transition. And I talk a lot in my book about what that actually means and what the steps are and what the challenges are at the different points in the transition process. And once we delve into the development work, and we experiment and we learn and we gather our people around us in order to navigate through whatever it is we're being faced with, then we reach the second And Just Like That, which is that moment where we realize, okay, now I know what I need to do. Now I know where I need to go. I've been patient enough with myself. I've done the work. I've done the thinking. I've done the experimenting. I've reflected, and now I know this is where I need to go. So it's really been a great exercise for me in really funneling down the core pieces to my work. And, you know, the book is in three parts, and the first is really about grounding ourselves in who are we at our best? What is our leadership profile? And so I've got lots of practical exercises and strategies. And then the second part of the book is really facing the jolt. And as I say, entering into that transition process, what is it that's ending? And people think that something ends and something new begins. And that's actually not the whole story. There's a whole phase of in-between that we need to navigate, which is a very uncertain place and can be very chaotic and scary and dark, where we just don't know. And then once we embrace that and recognize where we are in that change process, and it's not just a step-by-step change. It's also the psychology of what's happening underneath the change. which we may or may not be aware of. And if we can shine light on that, then we can enter the third phase, which is the process. Like, what do we need to learn? Who do we need to connect with? What do we need to experiment with so that we can get to an aligned new beginning that actually works for us in our work and our life? And so it was just a really amazing process to sort of pull that together and offer it in a practical way with exercises, and for it to be big enough that the reader can really input their own content and move forward based on their unique circumstances to be hopeful and have a process that they can believe in to get to that next level, that aha moment of this is where I want and need to go to take the next step in who I am and how I can become even better.
What would you say, and congratulations on all of that, just very beautifully expressed, and so obviously you're very passionate about this and you live and breathe this work, that's why you're so good at it. What would you say are the qualities of a good leader in your expert opinion? And I know that that has morphed for society. I know one of the things that from my experience and from my knowledge and research is the understanding of emotional intelligence, empathy, feeling of inclusion, all of those things are front and center right now. And it used to be, you know, the boss up in the ivory tower, never saw them, looking sort of down towards everything, but not really hands-on to the degree maybe that is needed. And the understanding of the importance of empathy and bringing everybody together is essential. And that seems to be something that is really at the forefront of effective leaders. Would you agree? And what are some other qualities of a good leader?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I always say everything in leadership and life starts with relationships. And it's on those three levels that I referred to earlier, relationship with self, relationship with others, and relationship with the wider context. And so I believe that, you know, the qualities of a good leader are definitely grounded in relationships. So an effective leader needs to be really aware of who they are, or how they want to show up. There needs to be sort of an open-mindedness and that whole learning mindset. A leader doesn't have to know everything, but a leader needs to be confident in holding the space for people to enter into with their work and their life, and being appropriately vulnerable, you know, having the courage to face what's actually happening, you know, not what, again, what they planned for, you know, but because often the leader is ahead of the organization or their people. They've got their plans, they've got their ideas. And an effective leader, to your point, has the emotional intelligence to be able to say, yeah, these are the plans based on my experience and knowledge and history with the organization or the role. But expanding that and saying, okay, so when this plan hits the ground running, how are people actually responding? How am I effectively communicating and being open to hearing how it's landing for people? I think especially in the last couple of years, we need that even more. We need to be aware of our mindset, and we need to be customizing our approach to the current reality and what's going on those three levels with self, other, and the wider context. And the effective leader also needs to have the vantage point of looking down on the whole landscape of what's happening and be able to be in relationship with those things instead of being caught up in the swirl of fighting fires and endless to-do lists. There needs to be this, you know, a vantage point of sensitivity, authenticity, and effectiveness, and also inspiration. And not having to have all the answers, but having the courage to ask the questions and really leave the space for people to enter into that question so that together people can collaborate and come up with the next best solution given the current reality.
I love the way you always add that in, given the current reality. Again, that makes me think of that flexible certainty, which is really a theme here, which I think is really fantastic. Tell us about your seminars and workshops that you offer as well. Those sound really exciting.
Yeah, so again, I mean, I really use a similar process in my workshops and keynotes and seminars that I do with my one-on-one coaching, which is about really it's about asking the questions, you know, really customizing the experience for people in terms of what's actually going on, what is it that you want, and how do we view this differently? How do we sort of play with the ideas and set goals and success markers for how we can show up more successfully? How can we bring the concept of positive psychology, which is really understanding what's working in our teams, what's working in your organization, what's it based on? How are people getting their energy? I've got a model in my book which really goes through like our energy points and how are we staying full so that we can bring our best self to whatever the challenge is that we're trying to navigate. And so again, it's a customized experience that I invite people into, and there's a lot of collaboration, and there's, you know, I certainly have input pieces in terms of theories and whatnot, but where it really becomes inspiring and powerful is for people to sort of play with those ideas and then apply them to who they are as leaders and people, so that then they can identify how they can overlay those strengths and gifts and experiences on whatever it is that they're currently working on, so that they can take it from where it is to the next level up.
Which is perfect, yes, and that's what it's all about, is the leveling up. What do you mean by, is it, I think it's spelled P-E-O-P-O, is it PEOPO?
Oh, people, no, what do I mean by my people, I think, and I guess, you know, this gets back to what I said earlier in terms of, you know, everything starting with relationships. And so one of the things that I really try to help people identify in whatever it is that they're facing in life, we're not meant to do life alone. And so depending on what we're facing, the things that are coming at us or the things that we are generating for ourselves and our work, and we have different roles in life. So who are our people? You know, who do you need to surround yourself with? And again, there's different levels of that. You know, there's people that we want to mentor. There's peers that we can learn from collaboratively, and then there are people that we need, that we want to inspire. So really being aware of who are our people and what do we want and need in terms of our teams, in terms of our conversations, in terms of our relationships, so that we can increase our chance of success. So it's not just about what we do, but it's how we do it and who we surround ourselves with, so that it becomes mutually beneficial and that the relationships are reciprocal, so that we're really building on each other's strengths in order to create an even better collaborative. Because in any relationship, you've got the individual who has wants and needs and goals, but whatever relationship we're in is actually another entity, because it incorporates the individual wants and needs of whatever the relationship is, but then that relationship itself also has wants and needs and goals. And if we can really surround ourselves with the right people for the right tasks and roles, we're going to definitely increase our chance of success, efficacy, positivity, inspiration, and not feel like we're alone in this.
Exactly. The website is karen-mcknight.com. That's K-A-R-E-N. And then you put the dash or hyphen between, and McKnight is mcknight.com. And again, the book, which I know she's very excited about and I think is fantastic, is And Just Like That. The book, can they get it at your website or is it Amazon? Where can they find the book?
They can find it on my website, and it's also on Amazon. And if you just Google it, not to be confused with the new series called And Just Like That.
Right.
But there's lots of places that you can get it if you're interested. And I just am really excited about being able to share this work with a wider audience.
Well, we're so happy to have you here, and I hope we get a chance to explore some more together, maybe hear some success stories as well. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, Karen. It was terrific.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Keep up the extraordinary work and look forward to chatting again soon. Karen McKnight, a very special guest. I'm Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us as well. Stay right there. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest on Close Up Radio. Till then, thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.